In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Morning. I know, if you're like me, that hymn ended and we thought God was showing up for just a minute there as the train was shaking the building yet again. A little startling. But that day will come, but apparently it's not today. So if you thought that was the moment, listen for the trumpets. We didn't hear one. As we listen this morning to the gospel according to Luke, thank you, I'll check is in the mail. The gospel according to Luke this morning, we have this interesting scene where Jesus is calling his disciples, and Luke tells the story in a rather unique way, which I appreciate greatly. And just imagine what's happening here. Now, Jesus, we know, has recently moved to this place where he is because they were trying to get him to stay where he was previously and teaching. And he said to them in chapter 4, verse 33, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other cities." So he has moved on from then, and we're in a new city, although he said he was going to be in a synagogue. Sounds like he's at the beach today. But he's there gathering his disciples, and he is teaching. The crowds are pressing in at such a level, and there's Simon Peter and his crew who have been fishing all night, and they're cleaning their nets, and Jesus comes to him and says, "Take me out in your boat so I can teach the crowds without them pressing in." And so Simon Peter, I guess, assuming nothing else has worked out today, I got free time. He's not cleaning any fish. So he takes him out in the boat, and I suspect he had his crew with him as we go further. But and Jesus teaches. And I suspect Simon Peter and the others had probably heard of Jesus at some point and at least heard some rumors about this teacher that's been moving about. And Jesus teaches what he's been teaching. He's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Most specifically, what he's proclaiming is a more accessible entrance into the kingdom of God for all of God's people. And so Simon Peter has heard this teaching. He's been sitting there in the boat. And listen to his response to what this almost ridiculous request that Jesus has. Verse 4, chapter 5, he says, "When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch.'" Now, I can imagine, and we hear a little bit of that tone in Simon Peter's response. Why would he want to do that? I mean, they've already been working all night. The boats are in. The nets have been cleaned. They're ready to go home. He's decided, no fish to clean, maybe. We'll just get back on the boat, and we'll listen to the teaching of this Jesus we've heard so much about. So they do that. And now this Jesus says, "Now go out into the deep water and put down the nets." When they had done this, I'm sorry, let me back that up. He says, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." That must have been some teaching from Jesus, wouldn't you think? It says here in the midst of it, Simon Peter's heard this teaching, and he's the fisherman, not Jesus. He's a carpenter. And he's just wandering around, and he's now becoming this teacher, well-known teacher, healer, and so forth. And he comes to the fishermen and says, "Now go put your nets out." After you've already finished your day unsuccessfully and you've cleaned all the nets, you're ready to go, just do it. So there was something he heard and gained understanding from the authority of Jesus' teaching that told him, "I think this is a bad idea." He hints at that. He goes, "But I'll do it anyway. If you say so, Master, I will do it." And he does. So the first thing we need to grasp here is when you begin to say yes to Jesus, you need to be able to now change your expectations. As those who are called by Jesus to do his work, to continue this ministry that he is doing even today in the gospel according to Luke, we have to have different expectations. See, Simon Peter and his crew, their expectation was, "We've already fished, there's no fish today. But if you say so, we'll put down the nets." And then, verse 6 and forward. When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. Now you would think that this moment would have been just complete and total joy. But it really wasn't. At least not for Simon Peter. See, in this moment he realizes, although he was being obedient to this Jesus, who he even called his master, he wasn't fully obedient in his heart, was he? And he recognizes that, and he says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." He immediately, in face of the abundance of what God was providing, realized his shortfall as a person and as a potential disciple, follower of this Jesus. He realized he really didn't have what was necessary to be a devout follower of this Jesus. And he fell to his knees, to the knees of Jesus, who we can only presume is in the boat. And that's when he says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." Now we know full well that Jesus didn't go away from him, did he? Jesus knew who he was. He poured out his grace upon him, and they continued to move forward. And I would say to you, brothers and sisters, as I read this, I could not help but begin to understand this reading from the position of Holy Innocents Episcopal Church. In many ways, we are in the very same position as Simon Peter and his crew in this fishing boat. We, sometimes reluctantly, have said yes to Jesus. Now we're learning to change our expectations of what Jesus is going to do. We have said yes to Jesus, and he has poured out abundantly. We have been struggling through a time of pandemic, as the whole world has been struggling through a time of pandemic. But when we stop and look at where we are right now as a faith community, the Lord is moving, amen? I mean, it is clear and it is obvious. And his abundance on occasion, just like it was for Simon Peter and his crew, can be a little overwhelming. The thing about the provision that God brings is sometimes we have not shifted our expectations to expect it all, and we want to just do what we can manage. Now, Simon Peter and his crew are pulling in these nets that are about to burst, and loading them into the boat, they realize we can't get all this in the boat. So they're calling out to the others and saying, you need to come and help us here. What the Lord is doing right now is so great, we cannot manage this alone, amen? And that's the same kind of position we're in right now. We can look at this concept within our own ministries, and we can see how they continue to shift, we can see how they continue to grow, and we can put all the numbers to it, amen? We can look at this TLC feeding ministry there was a brief moment, as I look at the two people who were coordinating at the time when COVID hit, and the question was, do we stop? And I had the same question for Meals on Wheels, and the answer was a definite no, we don't stop. We have to go. See, that was our obedience, because we surely had no idea what was going to happen next. And now that God has worked through us, he has taken a large number of our ministries that were outside of this building, and strangely, they are all crossing over the top of one another, amen? Many, Meals on Wheels, so on and so forth, the Rachel's Guild, TLC, the prayer ministry. You see how God is moving in our obedience, not sure what to do, and probably with some reluctance we said, okay, Master, if you say, we will do. And look what he's doing. And he's done it at such a level that we now have to change our understandings and expectations. In some ways, just like Simon Peter and his crew, we too are looking at our resources and saying, how much can they take? But we too, like Simon Peter and his crew, have to say, we trust you. So they pulled in all the fish with the nets potentially breaking. They brought in the other boat, brought in more fish. The boats are now almost sinking. So I'm just imagining the feeling they must have, because they're still into deep water. And their boats are sinking and they're overloaded with fish. They probably didn't know whether to celebrate or panic. Everything we understand looks like it's about to fall apart. So I imagine at some point they're like, paddle fast. Just get back to shore. But you know the one thing they didn't do? They didn't put the fish back. I mean, I got to be honest. If I was out fishing and caught so many fish that the boat was starting to sink, I'd think, let's put some back. No, you know, some people wouldn't. But that would be on my mind. But that wasn't, the master didn't say put them back. They said, look, look what he's done. How could we have to keep moving. And they kept moving. Now, they may have been a little bit panicked. And I expect as they were looking down, and like some of the waters we have here, maybe they could see, okay, I could stand here if the boat sinks. A little sigh of relief. And then when they got to the beach, you would think, this is going to be the greatest celebration ever. We're here. We're safe. Look at the abundance that has been poured out on us. And now we can go forward with a day of work and cleaning and making money and doing what we do as fishermen. And I would say the primary reason they got to this place is they didn't focus on the fact that their equipment was failing in the middle of this situation, that their resources were stretched to such a level they weren't even sure they could sustain the abundance of what God had given them to do in the pulling in of these fish. And in many ways, as a faith community, we have to stop and think, oh my gosh, can we continue? And when the numbers kept growing and the number of meals kept growing, we had to look at ourselves realistically and say, how much of this can we really cook in the yard on these little gas grills that we have? I said, no, we need more. Lord, we need more. What do we need? We need something that we need to upgrade our kitchen. So what happened? He upgraded our kitchen, amen? And we're able now to serve even more and even continue to expand our work with Meals on Wheels, which all the way is, most of which we do is also tied to Dover, where we serve Dover Elementary School in his name. Do you see how God is putting things together? So here's the interesting thing that we need to remember, I believe, from this story. There's many. But brothers and sisters, our boats are full. We're already calling out saying, bring another boat. The one thing we haven't done is stopped. See, because the Lord is not going to exhaust our resources. We may have moments of exhaustion, but that's why we need to be coming together. And the reality is, we are in the midst of an abundant season of God's blessings. What that means is we have come to a place where we can either unload the boats or paddle. And I say we paddle. Because unloading the boats just puts us back just where they would have been at the start of the day. Well, this was really nice, but let's just unload the boat so we feel safe. We've come too far for that. This pandemic has been, in many ways, a great blessing for me. That may seem odd. But what it has done, it has awakened within God's church the reality of what it means to love and care for our neighbors at a level in which we are making contact with our neighbors. It's not check writing that makes a difference. And sometimes in the midst of God's incredible blessings, we have to choose to be like Simon Peter and his crew and just take the blessing and do everything we can to hold to and be obedient to the blessings. If we panic, because the resources are stretched too far, or we think that it's going to make us very different than we were. If we stop, it stops. But we've come too far to stop, haven't we? Just like Simon Peter and his crew, we've come too far. But it's so easy to also confuse the blessing. I do it all the time. I've been fighting not to just this morning. I didn't do as well at the early service. But just yesterday, Susan and I were out cycling, and we stopped to take a break, and we ran into two other couples who were cycling, and they were taking a break, and conversation, you know, back and forth. And I don't know how conversations move from this to this so quickly, but within just a few minutes, we were talking about our faith communities and the mission orientation of our faith communities. And I was listening to this man share, and then I said, well, we have this mission outreach ministry really tied around food. And then I gave him, you know what I told him? I told him the numbers. How many meals we prepare in a month? Well over 900 when you bring in Meals on Wheels, the bread ministry. If you want to add in Kids Pack and the rest of it, it just keeps going and going and going. He didn't even talk about the quilts and the prayer team and the rest of it. I'm citing numbers. I want to blame the institution that I work in for that, because we are getting together the parochial report, which is all these numbers. And I left there and I'm thinking, why do I keep doing that? See, brothers and sisters, we can get distracted. Simon Peter and his crew got to the beach with all these fish, more than they could have probably ever imagined they would catch, and probably more than they ever had. And they get to the beach, and listen to what they did. They get there. And when they get to the shore, they bring the boats to shore, and they left everything and followed him. Because Jesus had said to them prior, he goes, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. See, brothers and sisters, we have been given a tool for ministry of feeding people who are hungry. Physically feeding them. That is not what God has called us to do. That is the tool he has given us to share his love with others. So when we continue to speak about this ministry and our ministry that we share that continually crosses over, I would say this to you. Don't be distracted by the numbers. Think about what God is doing. Don't miss that, because that is what's going to continue to move us forward. See, just like Simon Peter and those who were within his boat, those who Jesus was calling to be with him, his very disciples, they came to the realization that having a lot of fish is a nice thing. Gathering people to the kingdom is everything. Everything. So when I came in this morning, I went to my office and I went to my voicemail. And there's a call that has been saved in my voicemail in this office, my office, since August. And I go back to it and I listen to it on a fairly regular basis, I have to tell you. There's a woman who lives nearby here, and she is homebound. And she has people who help her. And one of the people who help her went to grocery shopping for her, and on their way back saw that we were distributing hot meals and drove through and picked up hot meal and took it to her along with her groceries. And she, of course, there was materials that indicated where it had come from, and she picked up the phone and called the church. And of course, it was Saturday, so there was no one here to answer it. And she left me the message. And in that message, she shared many things. But the most importantly, she said, you know when I've been blessed. And anytime I am blessed, and due to my situation, I always want to reach out and tell someone that they have blessed me greatly. And you all have blessed me greatly today. To have this meal and the way it was prepared and the quality of the meal has been such an incredible blessing to me. And I just wanted to say thank you for blessing me. Thank you for walking with God. Thank you for walking with God. She saw faithfulness. And because we have moved out of our faithfulness and occasionally out of our obedience, God is able to bless people through us. See, we can focus on the fact that moving in this way over the last couple of years has changed us and it's not the same. And we can focus on the fact that our resources seem a little more stretched than they have been, perhaps, in the past. And that includes our human resources, by the way, us. And we could stop. But remember, Simon Peter didn't order his people to unload the sinking boats. He said, paddle for shore. And then God called them to something bigger than fishing for fish. He says, you will fish for people. See, God is calling us to fish for people. Our hook just happens to come in a clamshell. But he's called us to fish for people. We are already so far into this call. We have to trust that he's going to continue to equip us and train us to do this work. We've gone too far. We're already in the shallow water where we can stand. We've left the deep water. There's no point in emptying the boat now and stopping. Stand up in the shallow water. Ask others to stand with you. The Lord is calling us to his people to share the good news of the kingdom of God. He has given us tools to reach into their lives, opportunity to really stand face to face with those in desperate need of hope. And we have the hope. Brothers and sisters, we, just like Simon Peter and his crew and the disciples that Jesus has called this day, we too have been called to fish for people.